You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas. And we're joined now by Campbell Robertson, a reporter for The New York Times in the Baghdad Bureau, to get a sense of Christmas in Baghdad, where there may be a Christmas holiday, but there's no let-up in the security arrangements and the sort of combat readiness there in Baghdad. Campbell, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
The first question I want to ask is, this is the first holiday for soldiers in Iraq looking at the status of forces agreement, the new status of forces agreement that was finally nailed down by both the U.S. government and the Iraqi parliament and the Iraqi leadership, which apparently, at least on paper, allows for troops to stay in Iraq, you know, after this year, but be out of Iraq by 2011. Are military personnel in Baghdad feeling that they're on a withdrawal wind-down mode here?
You do hear that. I mean, there a lot of the nitty-gritty is still being worked out. I mean, there are discussions on a daily basis over what exactly these terms mean. But when you talk to soldiers who are out every day doing the work, there definitely is a feeling that you know, we're moving to a sort of withdrawal pace here in terms of handing over as much as possible to the Iraqis in so many different ways.
Campbell, so much time and energy right now here in the U.S. is being spent on President-elect Barack Obama, what he's doing, what the expectations are. Are you hearing a lot of discussion among the troops about the incoming president and what they think about it?
Not really. I mean, you know, when you hang out with at least you know, the privates and the sergeants, there's just almost no discussion of politics. I mean, you know, every day, you know, two, three patrols a day, they're mainly concerned with, you know, what's facing them in the day forward and the day next, the day after that. So, in a lot of these days, it's sort of they're getting new guidelines almost on a daily basis over, okay, under the sofa, this is what your day's work's going to look like. And then 2 days later, okay, we figured this part out too. So there's a lot for them to be dealing with right now. And, you know, I think this is kind of up in the sky for them in terms of the president-elect and that kind of thing.
Well, you know, there's a tension that comes into play in a combat zone when forces get on a more withdrawal footing, in the sense that you don't want to be the, you know, last casualty out of Iraq. How is morale at this point?
It's good. I mean, it's interesting in the sense that, you know, handing it over to these other troops sort of creates all sorts of conflicted feelings. On the one hand, the Iraqi army works in mysterious ways, to quote you too, I guess. And I think a lot of the Americans are sort of coming to terms with how they work because they know they're going to be taken over. And so I think at first, maybe some months ago when I'd hang out with American soldiers, they'd say, this is a very strange and haphazard way of going about things. But I think a lot of them are beginning to understand that the way the Iraqis do it may not look like it makes sense to Americans, but actually may be the most efficient way to do things around here. So I think there is sort of a growing appreciation among some of the guys I talked to, at least, that, you know, the Iraqis, they may look a little nuts sometimes the way they do things, but this actually may be the best way to do things.
Well, that's interesting. Let's explore that a little bit. I mean, within the last couple of months, the Iraqis took over the arrangement with the Awakening up in Anbar province and the Fallujah area, which was the center of the surge where David Petraeus had so much success, actually paying tribal leaders up in that area. How has that gone, and how is that a model for other sorts of responsibilities being taken over by Iraqi forces as we move ahead?
Well, it's interesting. Oh, I was talking about this today with a colleague here. They took over in Baghdad a couple of months ago, and there was a lot of reason for nerves because, you know, the government has expressed numerous times, you know, this is a huge armed Sunni group that has kept his arms and is walking the streets, which doesn't make the largely Shiite government sort of sleep easy at night. So there were worries when the U.S. was transferring over that, you know, a lot of these guys were being arrested, that, you know, the government might try to shut it down. But frankly, in Baghdad, we were driving down the streets today. The Awakening guys were out there. being, you know, they've been paid by the Iraqis for a couple of months now. I mean, the U.S. is keeping a very close eye on it, so who knows what happens when we start pulling back in terms of that. But so far in Baghdad, it's gone actually quite smoothly.
So in watching this transition, does this feel like progress for the troops who are working with the Iraqis?
I think it's too early to say what's going to happen. But, you know, you find some optimism, at least among some officers I talked to, that we're moving from state of emergency to a civil state. I mean, it's still very sloppy and there's still a lot of holes. But, you know, there is some optimism on troops that some of this is actually surprisingly working quite well under the Iraqis.
So let's take a look from the perspective of a reporter. I know that every time you go back to Baghdad, it's a sort of a different set of arrangements in terms of your ability to interact with Iraqis, to get in and out of the green zone, to maintain a sense of autonomy on the streets of Iraq or even out in some of the provinces. But if you interact with Iraqis and maybe even relying on your network of stringers there at the New York Times, do Iraqis have a sense now of what the future of their country is going to be like, you know, maybe 5 years down the road?
Iraqis, completely understandably, tend to be a pretty cynical group. I mean, they make New Yorkers look like optimists. So there are a lot of them who feel, there are a lot of Iraqis I talk to who will tell you privately when the U.S. pulls out, this is all going to go south really quickly. But, you know, it's hard to know because I think everybody is sort of on a wait-and-see attitude right now. I mean, and obviously there are other very vocal Iraqis who say the only way to solve this is for the U.S. to get out immediately. So you really get a whole range of opinion.
Well, then I guess perhaps the mission between now and 2011 for U.S. forces is to instill enough confidence in Iraqis so that that cynicism begins to diminish. Do officers think that that's a possibility?
I do, and there are two different brands of cynicism. I mean, within the Army, a lot of Iraqi Army officers are very nervous. They just don't feel, they feel like they're doing well, but they're nowhere near ready. And then out in the street, there's less feeling about that and more just a cynicism about politicians. I mean, you know, one of the first lessons of democracy is cynicism, I suppose, to see politicians disappoint you. So I think a lot of the Iraqis who are not in the military are just very disappointed in their political leaders.
You're full of aphorisms this morning, Campbell. Are you writing a book? Are you one of these
I really am.
Yeah.
I apologize.
No, that's
all
right. That's okay. That's okay. What deployment is this for you? Or not deployment, but how many visits have you made to Baghdad?
I'm coming to the end of my second rotation. I was there for about 2.5 months this summer, and then I came in and early November.
Is it very different now?
Not really. I mean, there's, you know, the security agreement has been a big focus, and now everyone's sort of looking at the provincial elections in a month, and that's kind of what everybody's talking about right now.
Well, that's the next event on the calendar. Merry Christmas to you, Campbell Robertson.
Thank you, and you too.
Campbell Robertson, a reporter in Baghdad, in the Baghdad Bureau for the New York Times, who joined us from Baghdad, Iraq. Thank you.
What an interesting point that somehow the troops are thinking, well, gee, maybe what the Iraqis are doing makes the most sense, although it wouldn't have necessarily been the sense that we chose.
I'm kind of crazy, but it works.
It's, you know, kind of crazy, but it works, exactly.
Form of progress. So certainly the Iraqis are looking for a present under their tree, like having a future. But thinking about you in your holiday history, what lingering disappointments do you have, and what fabulous gifts that you got had an impact on your life?
My name is Peter Morisi, and I'm a professor of business at the University of Maryland. When I was about 9 years old, what I really wanted for Christmas was my first two-wheeler. And I got it. My older brother got one, too, but mine had training wheels, and that really disappointed me. But in time, the training wheels went away. I was a young boy on the streets of Queens in New York. And I took that bicycle everywhere for 3 or 4 years. It was only 20 inches. I was very small. And it was my first real ticket to a broader world.
He's not wearing training wheels anymore, our friend Peter
no,
Morisi.
No, he's not.
Here's another holiday memory.
When I was younger, I really wanted the Vision Psycho Sticks skateboard for Christmas. My parents tried hard but didn't know. They got me the Nash skateboard.
That would be our friend Adam.
Scarred for life.
Part of the takeaway team.
Well, you can share your story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.